Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello, this is Camille Fairborn.
Hello, Camille. This is Patty Erickson.
Hi.
Hi, I'm glad to be speaking with you. Thank you for taking your time to do this with me today. How are things in Utah for the fall?
They have been pretty nice. We had really good weather all through September and haven't gotten too cold yet, so I'm happy.
Good. Do you have trees changing color?
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, we drove up to Jackson Hole, Wyoming last week, and there beautiful reds and yellows and oranges all around. It was very
beautiful. I am so jealous. I'll be good now.
Okay.
I have some questions for you today about using fun in your classroom.
Okay.
And some of the questions may seem a little redundant. We're trying to get at teasing apart variables from a couple of different directions.
Okay.
So just bear with me. Sometimes I'll be sounding like I'm asking you repeated questions.
No problem.
But we can do that. First of all, I'd like you to describe for me briefly what your typical students are like.
My students are mostly non-traditional, older students who are returning to school after some kind of a break.
Okay.
At least the ones in my classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
I teach broadcast classes and online classes. So the broadcast students in particular are mostly older students. I have very few traditional college age students in my classes.
Okay, would you tell me what the broadcast format is like?
Generally, I have a classroom with some students in the classroom with me. And then we broadcast via interactive video conferencing to different sites around Utah. So I'll have between, say, 4 and how many do I have in the other class? Like 12 to 16 maybe, other sites where students are sitting in remote locations. They have a television set with a webcam in their room so I can see them, they can see me, and we can interact with microphones.
Okay, that sounds great. And you also teach some online?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right, they're mostly non-trad.
And most of my online students are non-traditional as well.
Okay. How would you describe their ability level?
Pretty good. We implemented a math placement time limits or math prerequisite time limits in Utah about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And what that did is it made it so that if you hadn't had your prerequisite course within the previous academic year, so 3 semesters, then you have to take a placement test to show that you still remember enough algebra to be in your stat class.
Okay.
And that has just dramatically improved the levels of ability in my classes. Before that, I would have students anywhere from people who had had calculus to people who were trying to understand how 4 over 4 was equal to 1.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really, really difficult to deal with. But at this point now, everybody in my classes has recently passed their algebra class. So for the most part, they seem really able to do the work that is asked of them.
Okay, so fairly high ability.
I think so.
Well, good. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, it's nice.
How interested are they in taking statistics?
Ooh, not very.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say interest level is pretty low. We're implementing a new course evaluation system this fall that will specifically ask that question, so I'm looking forward to finding out what the answer is.
Are you really?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's statistics. I mean, you know, people don't really go, oh, yay. I mean, nobody looks and goes, hey, I'm so excited to take this class, because they hear all the horror stories. And even if by the end they think it wasn't so bad, they're, you know, nobody's looking forward to it when they come in.
Okay. What majors do your students have?
Well, in my interest class, most of them are in psychology, social work, family, and human, what is that, FCHD, I can never keep straight what that those letters are, and elementary education for the most part. And then I also teach a business stats class, so I've just got basically everybody in the College of Business has to take it, so accounting, economics, all of that.
Yeah, business, all the business majors.
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell me what kind of a gender distribution you have in your classes?
In the intro stats class, it's about 80 to 90% female.
Okay.
And in the business stats, I haven't actually run it, but it's usually about 60% male.
Okay.
So.
All right. Excuse me. Great. It sounds like you have a very varied experience.
I do. They're two very different classes, despite being basically the same content.
Okay, great. Of the different fun modalities, poems and songs, cartoons, games, jokes and humor, food items, which have you tried, and could you tell me what you did with them?
All right. I do have some of the cartoons that are on the CAUSE website that I put into my PowerPoint presentations, and I usually get half of a chuckle if I'm lucky from those cartoons. Some of them are very punny, so...
Yes, they are.
Yes. So you get kind of the, excuse me, you get the groaning kind of laughter. I have used... M&Ms for chi-square tests.
Okay.
So that's pretty much the only food item. And I don't usually do a lot of jokes. I have a couple of movie clips that I'll show.
Okay.
I use one from Gilmore Girls, which is kind of funny. And I use one from the Disney's Robin Hood.
Okay.
And I use one from How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, which is a little funny. And students tend to enjoy those a lot. But I only have a handful of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess movie clips would probably be one of the funner things that I bring in. I also tend to use a lot of TED Talks, which aren't necessarily funny so much as just, I guess they're a little bit more entertaining than just listening to me talk some more. So I would probably classify that in at least marginally fun.
Okay. Well, you have quite a variety. That's really good.
I'm not a good joke teller, so.
Okay. we'll talk about why you don't use some things a little
okay.
bit. All right. I'm trying to write while you're speaking, and so there may be pauses in this.
No problem.
Okay. So you've been using cartoons, M&Ms, movie clips. In what settings have you used them? Lecture versus discussion?
Mostly lecture, especially the cartoons and the food. I record my broadcast classes and make those recordings available to my online classes.
Okay.
So I don't record every semester, but periodically I'll re-record the lectures, usually once there's some kind of an upgrade in the technology, then I re-record to take advantage of the new upgrade. So And then this last semester, I've actually taken my intro stats class and I've flipped the classroom. So I make my classes listen to the lectures outside of class. Mm-hmm. And then when they come to class, we've been doing more interactive small group work, class activities. And so I've been able to show a few more TED Talks, a few more videos in those situations than I maybe necessarily would in in the just a strict lecture kind of thing. But even with the online students, they're still getting the recordings from class. So if they wanted to purchase M&Ms and go along with the activity, mm-hmm. I mean, they could do that on their own.
How large are your classes?
My class caps are at 40.
Okay.
Sometimes some of my broadcast classes will be smaller, and so I'll up the caps in my online to mm-hmm. kind of meet demand where that is.
So not extremely large, but not really.
No.
But middle. Okay. Would you describe the material you cover in your class as basic or more advanced?
It's all really basic, especially the intro stat class is very, very basic. We use the Friedman statistics book, mm-hmm. which tries to avoid any notation and formulas that it can, sometimes to ridiculous lengths.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with that book, but
not really, no. Your course is a requirement, or is it an elective for your students?
It's a requirement for almost everyone that takes it.
Okay. And you use both in class and online and broadcast, which I think is a fabulous way to do it.
It's working pretty well.
Did you find some of the fun elements, some of the modalities work better in some settings than others?
Well, I think that I have taught just classroom classes. It's been several years since I've not been broadcasting. And I think that in those classes where I'm not on television, mm-hmm. it's easier to be a little bit more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, before the broadcast got so huge, I would have smallish classes of, you know, maybe 10 students. And so I could purchase the M&Ms myself and bring them, and everybody had the ability to participate.
Mm-hmm.
With the broadcast, of course, I can't purchase M&Ms for people that live hundreds of miles from where I am, and so I have to send them a message saying, you know, please purchase some M&Ms before you come to class, and, you know, not everybody does. So you don't have quite the involvement that you would with a smaller class. Same thing with, like, data collection, rolling dice, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more tricky with the distance students. So some of it, yeah, definitely does work better with the classroom thing. I've never tried, like, the songs and that, but I'm really sure that wouldn't work very well in a broadcast setting because, I mean, group singing, you have to be in a group, and I've got mm-hmm. several sites where there's just one or two students, and I can imagine they would just sit there and go, this is really lame. Yeah, they'd be like, no way. And there would be really no way I could check to see if they were participating because you can't have everybody's mics on at the same time,
mm-hmm.
and so, yeah, it would be problematic.
All right. I'm writing.
Well, and, of course, with an online class, you don't ever see their response at all. So they could be laughing in their bedroom on their laptop, but I would never know.
Right. You don't know if they're not even paying attention to them.
Yeah. I mean, do they laugh at my jokes? I don't know.
Okay. All right. How often do you use each of these things? How often do you use cartoons? How often do you use movie clips?
I would say you probably have to call it infrequently.
Okay.
If I were to put a percentage of, like, just class meetings that have anything like that, there would probably be, I don't know, maybe between 20 and 40%, depending on the course.
Okay. All right. And when you use cartoons, of course, those are very quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are just a few seconds. Movie clips would just be a few minutes, I expect.
Yeah, I have some movies that are up to about 15 minutes, but that's about all I spend.
So up to about 15 minutes. How long does it take you to do the M&Ms?
The M&Ms? The whole activity probably takes about half an hour.
Okay. And still talking about time, relative times,
mm-hmm.
Do you typically schedule your fun elements to be in at the beginning of the class period, the middle, toward the end?
I think it's just a mix. It kind of depends on, you know, how much of the material I got through the time before.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The things that aren't the cartoons that are just kind of slipped into the PowerPoint presentation, I probably do those towards either the beginning or the end.
Okay. All right. Do you typically use fun elements toward the beginning, the middle, or the end of a topic area?
Beginning.
Okay. And toward the beginning, middle, or end of the semester?
It's pretty much evenly spread out throughout.
Okay. All right.
That's more towards the middle and the end than the beginning.
Okay.
But then I show a lot of movies at the beginning, so it's a little...
It's spread.
Yeah, it is. It's
I
pretty
like
well spread out.
That's probably, actually probably better. Okay. Turning pages and writing notes here. Okay. So of these things that you've used, cartoons, M&Ms, movie clips, and so forth, why did you choose to use each of these?
The movie clips, I can say I read somewhere, I think it was in connection with some of the David Moore statistics books that I have,
okay.
That having a movie or something on television brings emotional connection, that it comes really quickly and brings an emotional connection. And I found that with the movie, especially the longer movie clips that I use, I specifically start out every semester in my intro stats class. We talk about the polio field vaccine trials, mm-hmm. and I have a little movie that was created by the University of Michigan for the 50th anniversary of the polio announcement,
mm-hmm.
and it's about 15 minutes long, and it's very emotional because it's got interviews with people who had polio, and it explains what happened and how pleased everybody was when the vaccine was announced as working. It's a very emotional thing, and I think it really helps to bring the students into the course right away and say, wow, this is something that matters. And so while nobody's laughing during that, I think it is a real emotional connection. And,
mm-hmm.
and I noticed that again last night. We were talking about expected value. And so I was able to bring in a TED Talk where Dan Gilbert's talking about expected value, and he does it in a really lighthearted way. And so by talking about the lottery and different things, he's able to, again, bring this kind of emotional connection to the material that you wouldn't necessarily have with, you know, algebra or something. So that's what I'm really going for, I guess, with all of the fun things that I use, is to try to get that emotional connection.
Okay, so that would be the same with cartoons and the M&Ms as well?
You know, I'm not sure why I use the cartoons. I thought they were funny. So I don't know that my students think they're funny, but I guess I'm trying to lighten the mood a little bit and things with that. With the food, That's just fun. I don't know that there's a real emotional connection, although I think they showed that if you give students chocolate before student evaluations, they tend to score their teachers better, even if it wasn't the teachers giving them the chocolate. So, you know.
I think they call those endorphins.
Yes, something like that. Drug them up before you hit them with chi-square tests.
Okay. Have you found any of these things that you've tried to be ineffective?
Well, I think the cartoons are probably the least effective. I don't know that students usually get them enough to be funny or to laugh,
right.
Or they don't see me as being, I don't know. That's probably the least effective. I think that the movie clips are really probably the best thing that I do.
Okay.
And I don't try to tell jokes, mostly because I don't tell them very well, and I haven't tried to do songs either.
Okay.
I know that would flop.
Do you find that some of your fun activities work better for some types of students than others?
I think I feel more comfortable doing them in my intro stats where, again, it's mostly female students.
Okay.
And that could be just my own gender issues.
Okay.
But, yeah, I think there's probably some of that in there, that I feel like my business students are more, I think they're actually less motivated to learn the material than my intro stat students.
Mm-hmm. But they're serious.
Yeah, they're not going to put up with a lot of crap, I guess. And not that fun things is crap, but with things that are different. I don't know. I haven't analyzed it that much.
Okay. Now, of the things that you have not used yet, but may be open to trying, are there any of those kinds of fun elements that you might be willing to try?
Could you hold on for just a second?
I certainly can.
Okay.
But I would love to come and work out with you. I've got my clothes. I'll probably need her like 10 more minutes.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's fine.
Things that I would use that I haven't used so
yes.
far?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I would have to see somebody use it really successfully for me to try to add something new in. I mean, I'm not opposed
okay.
to it, but, yeah, I may be a little wary.
All right. All right. Now, of the things that you have not used, and you are not open to using. And you mentioned songs, telling jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me why you might not want to use those?
Mostly because I guess my sense is that people would be uncomfortable, and maybe that's just that I would be uncomfortable singing a song in class. That's not something, I mean, I know they do it in their music for elementary ed teachers' classes,
mm-hmm.
but I think that a lot of people are not comfortable singing, and that would probably be my biggest concern, is just students' comfort level. I mean, when I'm trying to do something fun, I want them to emotionally connect in a positive way, and I don't know that I see singing songs as something that would necessarily be positive.
Okay.
But, and that could be just my, and it probably if I was that uncomfortable with it, I know that would get passed on to the students. So,
probably right. Okay.
And again, with the distance ed kind of thing, I that makes it even worse. If you had just everybody all together in a class and you could cajole them into doing it, then yeah, that's one thing. But where I've got people far flung and you don't have that face to face connection, I think that would make it just really difficult.
Okay. We are very close to the end of this.
Okay.
You've been giving me wonderful information. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Or it's the last page. All right. Okay, we've talked a little bit about delivery systems, how you have introduced or used these various modalities when you use the cartoons. You said you have them in the PowerPoint.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the movies, those would just be projected.
Yeah.
Okay, or recorded and... How do you do the M&Ms?
I ask students to bring a package of M&Ms to class, and then I bring one, and then I do the experiments on the document camera at the front of class, and then that gets projected and broadcast. So they can, at the very least, they can watch me sort the M&Ms, count them up, and use my numbers. And if they have their own, then they sort their own M&Ms and do them at their seat and use their own numbers.
All right, good. So you use a combination of performance and technology?
Mm-hmm. Very technology heavy.
Okay. And this, would you describe this as instructor-directed or as a laboratory investigation?
It's definitely instructor-directed.
Okay, good. And these are in-class versus out-of-class?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. Do you find any delivery system works better than any others for a particular type of element, to a particular type of modality?
Well, everything that I do is constrained by technology because of the broadcast and the online. And so that's always a consideration. And in a lot of ways, a limitation of mm-hmm. what I'm doing. So,
okay.
Mostly I just have to take whatever it is that I'm doing and try to adapt it to the constraints that I have with the way my courses are presented.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I feel like one way works necessarily better than another, although I don't know. I think that with the online students, by recording the live classroom, I'm getting the sense that they are feeling pretty connected to, I guess, the other students who were in the classroom. I see message posts where they're saying, "Remember in class when she said..." And I was like, wait, we were never all in class together at the same time. But they used that phraseology in their message posts on the message boards. And so I think that indicates that at least some of them are feeling like they're actually part of a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know if I even answered your question.
Well, I think that's useful information. Okay. These last couple of questions are kind of pull it all together questions.
Okay.
Talking about your hesitations, things that would keep you from using fun modalities in your classroom, can you tell me anything more about your hesitations?
I think there's definitely some self-consciousness in there.
Okay.
I think that I'm maybe hypersensitive to the fact that most of my students don't necessarily want to be learning what I'm teaching them, and that most of them feel very challenged by the material. I know that I'll get into this frame of mind where I start to think that nobody can understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And so to go out... out on a limb, it makes that even more difficult. That I already feel kind of alienated from my students because I do think it's cool and I think it's fun, and I have this overwhelming sense that they don't, mm-hmm. and that they're just humoring me.
Okay.
Which they sometimes will do, but I very rarely get the sense that my students actually are, you know, happy to be there and wanting to be more engaged than they are. I feel like I'm always dragging them. And so where I feel like they come in with kind of a negative outlook, it's very difficult for me to then try to get them to laugh or enjoy the subject when I know that I'm already starting at such a negative mm-hmm. starting spot. And I know that's maybe not even as true as I think it is. That, I mean, students are smart and they can figure things out. But I don't get that sense a lot of the times standing up there in front of the class.
Okay. Now, can you tell me anything more about your motivations for using fun elements in your class?
Again, I think chiefly it's to get that emotional connection, to break up the monotony of it, just to lighten the mood. Again, there's a lot of negative emotions in this course already just coming in, so being able to lighten that up a little bit is important.
Okay. So student attitudes are important.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I have lots and lots and lots of things written down.
Okay.
Thank you very, very much for participating with this survey today. You will have your name entered into a drawing for a chance on a $25 gift card.
Okay.
For participating today. And if you win, we will be in contact with you.
Okay.
I'm expecting that will happen sometime in the next 2 or 3 weeks, probably.
Okay.
But thank you very much for speaking.
You're
with me
welcome.
Today. I really
it was nice
it.
Talking with you.
Thank you. You have a
okay.
wonderful rest of the day.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.